that on this day we can gather to worship and praise you. We pray now that you would meet with us. Have your way in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that the babe of the Bethlehem manger might be born anew in our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 246 in your hymnal, number 246, let's stand together as we sing Joy to the World. You may be seated. At this time, we'll have the lighting of the Advent candle. Not the big one. Not the big one.
In the sixth month of and David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her, "for God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can I have a baby? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever you want. May everything you have said come true." And then the angel left. "How I rejoice in my God, my Savior." For he took notice of the lowly servant girl, and now generation after generation will call me blessed. For he is the mighty one, holy, and he has done great things for me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm does tremendous things. How he scattered the proud and the high ones. He has taken princes from their homes, thrones, and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and set the rich away with empty hands. And how he has helped his servant Israel. He has not forgotten his promise to be merciful. For he has promised our ancestors, Abraham and his children, to be merciful to them forever.
God, if you keep promises, help us to trust you, even as Mary did. We know you can make things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your promise. Ultimately, the hungry will be filled with good things, and those who are rich in things of this world, deep in provision spiritually, will be sent away empty. May we trust, believe, and live our lives assurances that your promise will be filled in us. Amen.
Amen. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God?
I think we should still pray for the people that are devastated with all of the tornadoes and stuff.
Pardon?
All of the people that were devastated with the tornadoes.
Right.
Kentucky, Arkansas.
All of those who have been through the storms. All of those who are still dealing with COVID, all of the first responders involved there. We need to pray that God will be with all of those who are making all of the decisions for us regarding COVID. There's a lot of debate, a lot of discussion. We need to pray for all of those that are involved in those decisions. Good to have Sharon back with us. Yes. All of those who are traveling. Yes. Pray for God's traveling mercy to be on them. We need to remember, you know, we sing joy to the world. We talk about a joyous season and all of that. And that's absolutely true for most of us, for many of us. For some people, this is a very dark time of the year. They're remembering their losses, loved ones who are no longer with them, even pets that are no longer with them. They're alone, they're lonely, they have nothing. We need to remember so many people who are in dire straits. You've heard me say it before, and you'll probably hear me say it again. Everyone in this room this morning is among the top 5% of the richest people in the world. Now, granted, there are those named Bezos and a bunch of others who have a little bit more than we do, but we are so blessed. In fact, I'm thankful that I don't have as much as they do because I'd have to find out how to give it all away. Other than just the people that line up at my door. But we are blessed, folks, and we need to remember there are many, many who have special needs at this time of the year. Any others? Brenda and Crystal, okay, remember, pardon? Brenda and Crystal, remember them in your prayers. We're going to have some more congregation participation this morning. I don't want to put too much of a strain on my faithful choir members. I'd like to have you join with us in both the prayer chorus. It's number 174 in your hymnal, and the words will also be on the screen. His name is Wonderful. And then in just a couple of moments, you're going to sing the offertory, okay? But we'll talk more about that in a moment. Let's join together and sing His Name is Wonderful. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise on the Sunday before Christmas that you loved each one of us so much that you were willing to come to earth in the form of a little baby, be born among us, live among us, die among us, and rise again to show us that we can be victorious in life and in death. Remind us in this Christmas season, Lord, of how much we have. Show us, Lord, that we can ways in which we can share that love and our abundance with others to brighten up their day. Sometimes just a smile, just an encouraging word. Help us, Lord, that we might seek to make not just this week, not just Saturday, but every day a reminder of Christmas and a reminder of the fact that God so loved that He gave. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with all of those who are going through difficult times, those who lost everything, including loved ones in the recent storms. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen their hearts. Those, Lord, who are grieving the loss of loved ones and things that they held dear during this past year, this is the time when we remember even more and we feel the pain and the grief even more. We just pray that you would comfort and strengthen their hearts today. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with our leaders. Remind them, Lord, that we are called to be one nation under God. That it is in God we trust. Not in individuals. Not in politics, but in God. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with all of our troops, wherever they may be scattered over the globe. We pray that you would comfort and strengthen their hearts as they're separated from friends and loved ones, especially during this Christmas season. Remind them that you are there with them and for them. We pray that you'd be with their families, Lord, during this time of separation. Help them that they might feel your love and your strength and your presence and your grace. Help us, Lord, that we might dare to trust you more and more, day by day. We'll give you all of the praise, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. The name of the Bethlehem manger, the name of the Christ of Calvary's cross, the one who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. May I remind you that the offering receptacles are at both doors. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Thanks to all of you who made it possible for us to be able to share with others during this Christmas season. Thank you for all of you who have worked so diligently for the beautiful decorations and for the Christmas programming that we've done. It's been exciting. And let me say a special thank you to Brittany. Yeah. She has been working diligently on all kinds of projects, and we do appreciate that so much. We appreciated the acolytes this morning, and the job that they did added a lot to the service. Thank you so very much. But do remember the offering receptacles. Now, it's time for the offertory. And I've chosen to entitle this an encore congregational offertory this morning. You're going to be singing the same song that the choir sang a couple weeks ago. It's number 251 in your hymnal. 251, Go Tell It on the Mountain. We've got the words up here too. It's a little bit different tempo than what us Methodists are used to, but I think you'll like it. just hear it now, people saying, you don't know what them Methodists have been doing. It's called celebrating, folks.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures there below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise
standing for the reading of the gospel.
Today's scripture is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David, and this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to whom all God favors. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, in all fairness to the pastor, when I was in high school, the Methodist church that I belonged to in Florida had a way of making every song we sang sound like a funeral hymn. Standing on the promises, okay? So every once in a while, I think a song like that just kind of helps to remind us of the roots that we have. We used to be called Shouting Methodist. Now about the only time we shout is in a board meeting. I had a lady one time, after one of the devotionals that I gave at a nursing home. She was a dear lady, 95 years old, had snow white hair braided down her back. She was blind. They led her up to where I was. And she says, you know, she said, you remind me of some of the old Methodist stump jumpers we used to have. Pardon me, that was the first, last, and only time I've heard that expression, but we need to remember that we've got a lot to be joyful about. And there are times when the slow, reverent hymns are the thing. Then there are times when it's good to just kind of feel ourselves moved by the music. I don't know if you've noticed the title of the sermon this morning. It's Peace on Earth. Question mark, question mark, question mark. I'm not going to rehash the news, but with all that we're hearing about the economy, about the border, about China, about Russia, about all of the things that are going on all around the world, very often it seems like we're headed in the opposite direction from peace. This week, this season, the whole idea of Christmas is to remind us that there is peace that's available. A few years back, Queen Elizabeth visited the United States, Queen Elizabeth II. And in this visit that she made, the reporters had a great time spelling out all of the logistics that were involved in her coming here. She had some 4,000 pounds of luggage, including two outfits for every occasion. She had a funeral outfit, in case somebody died, 40 pints of plasma, white kid leather toilet seat covers. She brought her own hairdresser, two valets, and a host of other attendants. I'm told that even a brief visit by royalty to another country can cost as much as $20 million. Now, by contrast, when God visited the earth, became incarnate, there in Bethlehem, there were no attendants, there was no entourage, there was nowhere to lay the newborn king except in a feed trough. That event that divided history and even our calendars into two parts may have had more animal witnesses than human witnesses. David Stegel is from Georgia. He caught a glimpse of the intensity of God's love shown in that Bethlehem manger. It was an unusual revelation that he had. He and a group of his friends had heard about a restaurant about an hour away that had all-you-can-eat ribs. They got in their cars and they went. The place was packed, the food was great. They got right down to business and the bones piled up quickly. Listen to what he said about that evening. Eating ribs is a messy business. Barbecue sauce gets on your face and fingers and clothes. Dirty napkins pile up next to half-eaten bowls of baked beans and coleslaw. When our crew had eaten all we could, we paid our tab and waddled out to the car. I reached into my pocket for my keys, but they were not there. I looked in the window at the ignition, no keys. Suddenly, I knew exactly where my keys were. The keys to my car, my house, and my office had been on my tray. And obviously they had slid off the tray and followed a half-eaten corn cob and piles of rib bones into the bottom of the trash can. When I explained my plight to the manager, he told me that the trash cans had just been emptied into the dumpster out back. My friends, if they were friends, weren't going to do the dirty work for me. So I reluctantly climbed in, reaching through the piles of bones and beans and barbecue, corn slaw, and too soggy napkins. And I finally found those precious keys. After a very long, smelly ride home, and after an even longer hot shower, as I was sitting in front of the Christmas tree, I got to thinking about how God left a beautiful, sinless heaven to search through the filth and rubbish of this fallen world for something precious to him, me. What an analogy, especially just before lunchtime. But that is what Christmas is all about. God coming into the world to show you and me his unconditional love and grace. Christmas has some wonderful things to say to us. Christmas has some wonderful things to do for us. Christmas has some wonderful things to give to us. But we have to have the ears of faith to hear them, the eyes of faith to see them, the heart of faith to feel them, and God's grace to accept them. One of the greatest gifts that God has to offer you and me after the gift of salvation is a gift of peace. The angels sang, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward all." We need to remember that the babe of the Bethlehem manger is also referred to as the Prince of Peace.
He comes to visit and to redeem his people and to lead you and me to peace. This is what happened to George Frederick Handel. He was frustrated with himself. He was isolated from other people. He was at odds with God. He was sick. His vision was failing. He was broke. He was lonely. He was hopeless, and he was miserable. His creativity had disappeared. But then the babe of the Bethlehem manger was born anew in his heart. And Christ stilled those storms in his life that were tearing him apart. And he became a new person. Where there had been strife, there was now peace. Where there had been fear, there was now courage. Where there had been emptiness, there was now creativity. And he was then able to compose one of the most beloved pieces of music ever written, the Messiah. That's how it works. Christmas is a reminder for you and for me that Christ came into this world to redeem us and bring us peace. If we will accept it, through Christmas, God has a gift for us, the gift of peace. First of all, he offers us peace with ourselves. How many of you have seen the movie Home Alone? Most of us. And probably many of us have seen it enough times to make up for all the rest. Okay? In this movie, a little boy named Kevin is accidentally left home alone while his family goes on a European vacation. Now, if you've seen the movie, you know the chaos with 16 or 17 people all loading into vans to go to the airport. You can understand how one could be overlooked. Well, here he is, halfway around the world from his family. On Christmas Eve, he feels sad and alone, so he went to church. There he met an older man who was also unhappy because of family problems. As they talked together, Kevin admitted that he felt guilty because he didn't always treat his family right, and now he misses them. I like the comment that the older man made to him. He said, "You're in church now, and this is the place to come when you're feeling bad about yourself." How many of us have stayed home because we're feeling bad about ourselves and life in general? Sort of like a person saying, "I don't feel too good," and you say, "Why don't you go to the doctor?" "Well, I'll wait till I'm feeling better." That's what we do with church. "Well, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like going to church. I feel bad." All the more reason. This might be the Sunday that they sing, "Go tell it on the mountain." It might give you just the lift that you need. That older man was right. The church exists because of that first Christmas. The church is a place to come when we need comfort, when we need forgiveness, when we need to make a new start, when we need to find peace. One day close to Christmas, a young boy was walking down the hallway at church. He was carrying a ceramic tray that he had made in Sunday school. This was going to be his Christmas gift to his mother. He had been working on it for weeks, and he was so proud of it. As he walked down that crowded hallway, he stumbled and fell, and the tray flew out of his hands and hit the tile floor and broke into pieces. He looked around and saw the pieces, and he just sat there crying. People came along, as people often will do, and they tried to comfort him. "Oh, it was just a tray. You can make another one. It's nothing. Get your mother something else." That doesn't help a whole lot, does it? We need to be careful about these little cliches that we use on people when they're hurting. Sometimes saying nothing, just being there, is a whole lot better for the situation. Finally, his mother arrived on the scene, and quickly she realized what had happened. She knelt beside him on the floor, and she saw his broken gift in pieces. She hugged him, and she said, "You know what? I think this is fixable. Let's pick up the pieces and take them home, and we'll work on it together to make it good as new." The little boy hugged his mom and smiled. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? The world is broken, just in case you haven't noticed. Many of us are broken. God hugs us and said, "This is fixable. Let me help you pick up the pieces and we'll put it back together." Secondly, Christmas gives us peace with others. Isn't it sad how out of sorts people can get with one another? How withdrawn and hostile people can get? Revenge is never sweet. It becomes a bitter memory. Violence breeds more violence. Just in case you haven't watched the news lately. Hate poisons the soul. Resentment, jealousy, prejudice are all viruses that make us sick. Jesus came into this world to show you and me how to be peacemakers, bridge builders, reconcilers, how to seek and offer forgiveness. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. If we would remember that every one of us are God's children, and would treat everyone that we meet with love and respect, what a difference it would make in our world and in our relationship. Think what would happen if one person, armed with the gospel of peace, went out these doors, what they could do in their world. Back in the 5th century, a monk by the name of Telemachus felt that God was telling him to go to Rome. So he put his few possessions that he had in a sack. He left the solitude of the monastery, and he left for Rome. When he arrived in the city, there were scores of people all over the streets, and when he asked them what was going on, they said that the gladiators would be fighting in the Colosseum that day. Telemachus said, 4 centuries after Christ, and they're still killing each other for enjoyment? Here we are 20 centuries after Christ, and look what we're still doing. He ran to the Colosseum and he heard a gladiator saying, "Hail to Caesar, we die for Caesar." With that, he jumped over the railing and ran out into the middle of the arena. He pushed between two of the gladiators and tried to stop them from fighting. The crowd became angry and stoned him to death. The Roman Emperor Honorius later declared the monk a Christian martyr and put an end to the games. Legend has it that that gladiatorial game that day, where Telemachus gave his life, was the last game they had. What a difference one person could make. Christmas offers us peace within, peace with others. But just like all the other gifts of Christmas, we don't have them if we don't accept them. And then thirdly, Christmas offers us peace with God. It was 2 days before Christmas. There was a long line at the post office. People were trying frantically to use overnight mail to get Christmas packages to people on time. A woman with three little girls in tow finally reached the counter. She asked the clerk, she says, "Can you get this package to Phoenix, Arizona tomorrow?" The lady behind the counter says, "I can, but it'll cost $47. She said, "I'll pay it. It's a present for my father. It has to be there by tomorrow because Christmas is also his birthday." The clerk said, "What a bummer. I'm glad I don't know anybody born on Christmas." Someone in the back of the line said, "I'm glad I do know somebody that was born on Christmas." Jesus Christ, whether or not he was born on December the 25th really doesn't matter. The question that does matter is, has he been born anew in your heart and your life? We sing that old gospel song that says, "Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit, forever I pray, in fathomless billows of love." This morning, God is offering to you and me the gift of peace. A peace that the world cannot give, obviously, but also a peace that the world cannot take away. It can be ours if we will receive it. One more story in closing. Sandra Thornhope was going to be alone at Christmas. Her husband had died of cancer just a few months before. Now she was snowed in. She didn't even feel like bothering putting up any Christmas decorations. Late on that cold, dark, snowy afternoon, the doorbell rang. It was a delivery boy with a box. She was puzzled. She hadn't ordered anything. She said, "What's in the box?" He opened up the box and lifted out a golden Labrador Retriever puppy. He said, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken." "Who sent this?" she asked. The young man handed her an envelope and said, "It's all explained here, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift for you." The young man then handed her a book, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." She again asked, "Who sent this puppy?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas." She opened a letter that her husband had written 3 weeks before he died and left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy at Christmas. He admonished her to be strong and said he was waiting for the day when they would be together again. He was sending her the puppy to keep her company until then. She picked up the golden furry ball and held it close. As she looked out the window at the lights on her neighbor's house, she felt an amazing sensation of peace. A peace that was far greater than the grief and loneliness that had overwhelmed her just a few minutes earlier. "Little fella," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me. There's a box down in the basement with a little Christmas tree and some decorations and lights that are really going to impress you. There's also a manger scene. Let's go get them." God has a way of sending signals to remind us that life is stronger than death, that light is more powerful than darkness, and then that in the midst of all of the storms that come our way, God will give to you and me a peace that is even greater. Heavenly Father, this morning, how we need that peace. We need that peace, first of all, in our own hearts. There cannot be any other kind of peace on this globe until this personal peace. Then we need the peace in our families. We need that peace in our nation. We need that peace in our world. Help us that we might open our hearts and lives to you, that the babe of the Bethlehem manger might be born anew within us, that we might then have and be able to share that peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing number 239, Silent Night. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Share those gifts with others.